So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be accepted to you, O Lord, in this time of worship. Amen.
Amen.
So the express train of Christmas, which has been coming ever closer at greater speed, I find that so anyway, will arrive by tomorrow evening. And if you haven't done everything, too late. If you haven't got that present, it's too late. But I wonder how many of us, and you actually showed this morning, will you have a surprise on Christmas Day? Our surprises will probably be limited. How will our choice of gift go to our beloved as they open it? But I expect all of you, like me, if you go and you have grandchildren, you look for the expression on their face as they open the present that they wanted and you've given it to them. Then comes Christmas Day. Are you thinking, how will the food preparation go? Can we get through Christmas Day without anyone flying off the handle? And will you all agree to watch the same television programme? What can easily escape all of us at this time is the practical preparation and the element of surprise contained in God's choice of giving human life to his son Jesus, whose birth we celebrate on Christmas Day. God's decision to join humanity in the body of Jesus is not a sequence of events that the political people and the seers of the time perhaps would have predicted. The idea of God taking the form of a human being, taking on our human flesh, being born in an obscure town in Palestine, who would have dared believe that? Yet we hear from Micah this morning. The prophet foresees that many centuries before Jesus was born, Bethlehem will be the place where someone special emerges. This person will be, as we heard read this morning, who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. For you see, God's plans are well laid in advance and come to slow fruition. The problem is, by the time Jesus is born, the town of Bethlehem is not somewhere where you would expect this great leader to come from. Its history was more in the past, David's town. That was a long time ago. But the prophet said to each of us, keep an eye on this village. God plans to start a new deal for Israel in this place through a new leader. That ruler, says Michael, will feed his flock, not by his own resources, relying on the Lord God. As a result, God's people will flourish, live in security, while the ruler's influence will reach across the world. Best of all, Micah predicts, this ruler will come as someone of peace. I wonder if anyone remembered those words 700 years later, when the town actually became the focus of God's purpose as Jesus was born. It's quite possible they didn't think about that prophecy until after Jesus' death and resurrection, when they were looking back to record the story. You know, sometimes we hear words of the prophets that seem to pass us by because we can't understand and believe the words that the prophets say. Too surprising, can't possibly come true. If Bethlehem then was the largely forgotten place to be the centre of God's activities, then many other surprising events are quite possible as well. Micah's prophecy sets the scene for today's gospel text. The song of pure revolution, which Luke gives to Mary in her voice, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's bad enough that the years have eroded the element of surprise from God's choice in Bethlehem, the birthplace of God's son. Even worse, do you think we have de-radicalized and domesticated Mary's hymn of praise of God's rule of justice and liberation? Has the Magnificat in church's hands become a safe place of liturgy from its original tone and content? I'd ask you to go home and read the story again, but read it from this perspective. Imagine yourself back into a society where women have no voice, where the only way they have a voice is through their husband or their son or their father. And this particular lady was pregnant and not married, yet she is able to use fantastic words. You must be struck by the gap between the limited expectations of someone like Mary to use the words that she used. Mary's bold celebration of God's saving intervention in the life of the people. Her powerful words can speak across the generations. We call this passage the Magnificat because of the Latin word for Mary's opening declaration. My soul magnifies the Lord. Mary begins by rejoicing with all our heart and soul and mind about the love of God for her. Do you know, there's always something special about a lady who's pregnant, of the possibilities of new life that she's carrying, even more so for Mary carrying God's son. And for Mary, there's no danger here of being boastful or being proud. She's rather filled with God's Holy Spirit. She sings a praise to God, who's always been on the side of the downtrodden and the overlooked, to raise them up and give them good things. There is a sense in which the mighty have fallen in a power, in a dramatic fashion. I want to remind you of a couple of things that happened to all of us from my memory about the fall of those in power. I was doing my national service in Germany in 1961. That dates me. Do you know what happened in 1961 in August the 13th? Can you remember the Berlin Wall went up? Who can ever remember that wall ever be able to come down? And yet, I'll remind you to go through your memory files. In November the 9th, 1989, that wall came tumbling down because of the rising up of the people. Another experience of mine, I was on a district youth weekend as part of MAYC in February 1990. Can you remember that date? Can you remember the 11th of February 1990? Seeing Nelson Mandela walk free from prison. The beginning of the end of apartheid. And 4 years later, he would become president of the Rainbow Country. So the mighty can come crashing down. And in our recent history, Egypt and Libya, and so we're told by our newspapers that Syria will soon fall. These corrupt nations do fall. God promises they will. And just a little reflection on that Hebrews reading, which I think is very important for us at this Christmas time. The Hebrew writer said, being God's servant, Jesus said, "See, I have come to do your will." That's pretty much what Mary has said when she was told by the angel she would bear God's son. She would do his will. And do you know what? That is the response given to you and me this Christmas on hearing again the birth stories of Jesus and being invited to follow him. Let us be, as Christian people, serving him in this time and place, to do his will for our generation. Amen.